Hello and welcome to Leaning Into Light's free recording for January 2019. My name is Jessica Rios and I'm the founder of Leaning Into Light. And this month, our free recording is actually not an interview of somebody else. It's a share from me. I have some thoughts to share with you on minimalism. And I'm very excited about this because minimalism is a passion of mine. And I'll go more into that. But for now, we share these free recordings every month as a gift to support you listeners to lean into light. We envision a world not without challenges because that doesn't seem to be the way the human experience works. But we envision a world where humanity is more and more and more skilled at leaning into light, choosing love over fear. So thank you for being here today. And a little bit of the purpose of this talk, so I'm sharing about minimalism because a lot of people have a desire to live more minimally. And when I say minimalism, I mean in your home, what you have, the material things you have, to live more simply. A lot of people have this desire and it's not easy. So I have had this desire and lived this way increasingly for at least 10 years, and I have some things to share about it to help make your journey toward it a little bit easier. And so let's see. So I'll start by sharing some of my story. And actually, before I go into that, I just want to share that minimalism looks different for everyone. So just like your idea of style, you know, with fashion, with what you wear every day is different than everybody else's, you know, no two people can look the same in their style. No two people have the very same kind of minimalism. It's different for everyone. And, you know, I'm not here to argue about what's minimalist and what's not. I'm here to share my story and some tips on how you can ways that you can move more toward a minimalist life for yourself. So as far as my own story, it was, 10, maybe 12 years ago, one of my dearest friends, whose name is Piper, she had been living this way more than anybody else I knew, really. I just noticed when I would go to her house, she had this way of really keeping it simple. So you would look at this wall, and there wouldn't be a ton of furniture and a ton of lamps and stuff and books and all kinds of things. There would just be, you know, there was a sense of refinement in her space. And they're not wealthy financially. They're just kind of normal in terms of that. But it was minimalist the way that she lived. And finally, about 12 years ago, I decided that I wanted that too. And I made a commitment to live that way. And so over, I'd say the next 8 years or so, I practiced, whether I was living alone at the time or whether I had a roommate, I practiced living minimally. And what that looked like for me was just making sure that I wasn't bringing in a lot of stuff from the store, from outside the house, and that the difference between what I was bringing in and sending out, giving to thrift stores or, you know, giving away, was, you know, that I was bringing in less, I was giving more than I was bringing in. So overall, the amount of things I had became less and less over time. And then I met my now husband, who is very attentive also to things. He's from Sweden. They're a very practical country in my take. And he only likes things that he determines are really, really high quality. So suddenly I had a boost in not only moving toward having less stuff, but having the things we had in our home, because we moved in together pretty quickly, be nicer quality things. And that was really cool. So then 2 years ago, we decided to move to Sweden for a year. So we uprooted our California life. We got rid of half of what we had because we could only bring a little bit over to Sweden due to the cost of transporting our things. And then we put the rest in storage, and we really wanted to cut down. So we got rid of a lot of stuff. Anything that we just decided this is not high enough quality to hang on to. Anything we decided we just don't need it. We got rid of it. And so we got rid of about half of our things, went over to Sweden. And while we were there, we discovered the cost of moving things back to the US is a lot higher. So for whatever reason, we were going to pay $1,350 to move things back in one shipping pallet, you know, a big box. And when we moved them to Sweden, it was $800 for one of those. So that's a big cost difference. And we don't have a lot of money. So we don't want to waste money. So we decided once again to get rid of half of what we had. So when we came back to the US in July, we had a lot less than what we had gone with, and we came back to our storage unit and we took things out. And as we took things out of our storage unit, it was like, oh my gosh, we put this in here 13 months ago, you know, and we don't need this. We don't need this. So we made a pile and gave away more stuff. And so I highly recommend, if you're really dying to be more minimalist in your home and the way you live, move away for a while and put things in a storage unit and then come back and see how your big adventure of travel has changed the way you see what you have and what you want to keep. So here we are. Now we live in 900 square feet, which is fine for us. It's kind of about right. Not too small, not too big. And we live pretty minimally. I look around our space and it's not like a magazine where you look at the page and all there is one white vase and one tulip and a rug and a pretty chair. Like, that's not how we live. It's a small space and we have things, you know, we have, we have books and we have, photo albums and I'm looking around our house right now. You know, we have Helena's toys, our daughter's toys. So it's not sparse, but we have a lot less stuff than almost anyone I know, as far as our friends are concerned. And I'm really happy about that because that works for us. So that's a bit about my story. And I will say that, you know, there are enormous benefits to living this way in my perception. And so I want to share a little bit about the benefits. And before I do that, just to mention that, you know, this minimizing and living minimalist is a daily practice in my experience. It literally has, for me, in the 12 years or so I've been practicing it, it has given me an extra, it's almost like there's a brain in my eyeballs. Well, there kind of is, right? But, you know, when I look out into our home, I'm always looking through the lens of, do we need that thing or not? So like right now, I'll give you a real specific example. I just looked at something. So it's a big book. It's like a hardcover sort of coffee table book, and it's called Great Rivers of the World, I think it's called Great Rivers. And it's a book with photos and stories about all the world's great rivers. And I've never really read the book. So why am I keeping it? And this kind of thinking goes through my mind, happens for me every time I look at something in our home. So why am I keeping it? Well, my last name is Rios, which means rivers in Spanish. I'm a Pisces, you know, Western astrology. I'm the fish. I have a strong sense of connection to rivers. And I think it's a beautiful book. And we also homeschool, we unschool our daughter. And I think, wow, that could be a really fun resource one day when she decides she wants to learn more about the animals and other critters, you know, plants that live along rivers. So I'm keeping it. But that level of thoughtfulness goes into everything we have. I just don't want anything in our space that's not bringing a lot of love, a lot of joy, meaning, depth, understanding, you know, that's not really making our lives a better place. So that's an example. And it's not work. It's kind of is, but you know, some days I'll send out a bag of stuff, like a, you know, say a grocery store bag full of small things and stuff that I just have kind of discovered we don't need them. And some days it may only be one thing or even nothing, but it's always on my mind back there. How can I, in a culture that is insistent upon, you know, a consumer capitalist culture that's insistent upon convincing you to buy more stuff because you need it. You're going to look better and feel better if you buy more stuff. Well, I totally don't buy that. I actually buy the opposite. The happiest times in my life have been backpacking or canoeing or out there with just a backpack, very, very minimal stuff. And I've heard a lot of other people say that. Maybe that's true for you too. So that's a bit about, you know, about my story. And again, I want to go into the benefits of this to help convince you if you're needing a little support to move more toward a minimalist life. So have you read The Lorax? You know, Dr. Seuss, The Lorax. And in The Lorax, you may remember they talk about THNEEDS, THNEEDS. So it's referring to things. And Dr. Seuss is really criticizing the amount of things we have that we just don't need. We have things, things everywhere, stuff, 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 you know, commercials, buy this, stuff everywhere. Ah! We just went through Christmas. It's stuff, stuff, stuff. So it's seeing through the lens of like, gosh, we have extra stuff, excess stuff, and it's getting in our way. Some of us see that, some of us don't. But the benefit of living a minimalist life and committing to living this way is that you have less stuff to tend to. So the first thing I can think of is just, I don't want that extra thing. I can think about my mother, who's an amazing woman, and she likes to give things to my daughter, to her granddaughter. And I love that, and I appreciate the generosity, and at the same time, I don't want one more thing to tend to, because guess what? Every single thing that comes into our house, I generally take the lead in washing it, keeping track of it, you know, taking care of it, tending to it, finding a space for it. And that's all work. So tending to less stuff, you have less stuff you need to clean. The more stuff you have in your house, and sometimes I go to friends' houses who live in, you know, much bigger spaces than we do, and they like it that way. It's all good. And I wonder, gosh, how do you clean this space? How do you take care of it? So less stuff to clean. That's one of my favorite benefits, is now that we're living in 900 square feet and we have so much less stuff than we've ever had, I have less stuff to clean. Yay! And that makes me happy. So that's another one of the benefits. So tending to less stuff, cleaning less stuff, pay to care for less. What did I mean? This little note here. The cost. Yeah, the financial cost. So when you're tending to less stuff, you have to pay to take care of less stuff. For example, so you have a photo on your wall. You know, if the glass on the frame breaks, you're probably going to go and get new glass for it. So if somebody bumps into it, it falls. You know, stuff happens. Or a glass, a wine glass, it falls, it breaks. The more stuff you have, the more stuff you have to pay for, in whatever way that thing requires. So the glass in a frame, you know, if you have one photo, well, if you have 50 photos in your house in frames, you know, it's just more likely that more things are going to break and you need to pay for them. Or if you have 50 pairs of, you know, pants that you tailor to take in the length of the pants and the waistline, yeah, it's just more things that you have to pay to take care of. So that's also related to utility bills. So the smaller space you have, because you don't need a ton and ton and ton of space, Mother Earth gives us a lot of space outside. you have less space to heat, less space to cool, less space to clean. You just have less space that you need to take care of, pay for. So it saves you money. Saves you money, less cleaning to do, less to tend to, reduces stress. And I also really, you know, I'm somebody who's really sensitive to the feeling of a space. So it's why, you know, beautiful boutiques want it to be really aesthetically and sensually pleasing when you walk in, because the more good you feel, the more pleasure you feel, the more likely you might want to come back. You might feel good enough to want to buy something. you know, they want you to feel good walking into their store. So it's the pleasure of space. And for me, I know that when I look around my space, which is by no means perfect, you know, there's messes right now and there's always something needing attention because it's life and that's life is alive. But the more I look around and I see that it's beautiful, that it's been carefully tended to, that there's not excess clutter, oh, the better I feel. I don't know about you, but when I see clutter, I get, not in my own house, because with other people, I mean, not in other people's houses, because with them, it's their house. It's not, I'm not responsible for it. I'm not living with it. But for me in my house, when there's clutter, I can almost not move on to something else because until I tend to it, until I deal with it, because it's a block. It's stuck, and I don't want stuck in my house or in my space. So that's one. And then the last real benefit that I can think of in the moment is the environmental impacts. So for those of you who love and respect Mother Earth, planet Earth, our home, our life support system, the way that I do, when you have less space, you have less of an imprint on Mother Earth. You have less stuff, you have less of an imprint on Mother Earth. You're taking less from her, you're appreciating the things you have, perhaps more. So treating the earth well, another benefit. And then the final piece I want to share is for parents or anybody who values children, which I would love to think that all of you do and that we all care for the humans, you know, humans when we're younger. We've all been children. So a piece on the language, you know, the challenge with children and others, So living in a consumer capitalist culture where you're basically, we are basically, I don't like to say up against, but we're living in a culture where we're constantly encouraged to buy more stuff and have more stuff. And we all know a lot of money goes into marketing and into selling stuff. So, you know, for me, this is, our daughter's almost six and we're getting to a much more peaceful place with it. But I will say that in the earlier years, as we established what our values were with our child and with how much stuff we wanted or more so didn't want, it has been a real challenge. And I just want to acknowledge people, the parents out there listening, for the work you're doing with your children. And, you know, we don't want to teach them resistance. You can't have that when they're looking out and their friends have tons and tons of toys. And they have, you know, in my mind, our daughter has plenty of toys, but she has a real different amount than some other friends. And why am I not going to buy her, you know, all kinds of things or let people give us all kinds of things for her? Because, you know, and this is what I share with her, and this is what I recommend to parents who are struggling with this, that you get clear on your values around it, on your why, your purpose, and you communicate that to your children. You know, so how it sounds for me is, in our family, we want to love Mother Earth, and we don't want to have a bunch of stuff in our house cluttering up our space that we have to take care of and tend to. We have just the right amount and we have plenty of stuff. We have beautiful things, high quality things, and that's all we need. And when you grow up and you live by yourself or you live with your friends, you can have all the stuff you want. And for now, this is what we're going to do because, you know, we really are co-leading with our children. And it's beautiful when we can teach them an appropriate relationship with things and not just go into, that's just the way it is. People love to give a bunch of presents. Who cares? You know, I care. That's for sure. Especially coming out of Christmas where we're flooded with stuff. So that's my story. Those are some of the benefits. Living minimalist, it's a daily practice. It's a beautiful practice of refinement and attention. And I really support anyone who's moving toward living this way more. I know there's an author who's, I think her book is called Tidying Up. I don't know the name of it. I didn't read it. Some friends told me, Jessica, it's like you wrote that book. I did not write the book. I'm grateful to the woman who did. And, you know, it's getting more and more popular. So I'm grateful because it does take a lot of discipline to be dedicated to living a minimalist lifestyle. And I think it's a wonderful thing. So thank you for listening today. Again, I'm Jessica Rios, the founder of Leaning Into Light, and this is one of our monthly recordings. If you have found this useful, it's most appreciated that you share it, email, social media. However, I'm taking a break from social media, so we are not online that way right now. And that's another way that I'm, you know, honoring my minimalist values. But if you are, I would love it if you would share the talk with anybody who you think it would be helpful for. So have a great rest of your day. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.